Ana. Oh. Anyone there? Marka? Okay.
Not on yet.
It wasn't playing music, so I didn't know what was going on. You never know if I'm bumped off or not, especially in rainy weather.
Right.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
We're on verse 284, I believe.
I had 283, but I could be wrong.
We
may have, and I may just have not noted it.
Well, as soon as my page opens up, I'll take a look.
Okay.
The last verse we talked about, we were spending a bit of time on, was the verse that describes the young man, Yossi, who went to Rabbi Abba and asked if he could study Torah to get wealthy.
And we mentioned Babylon and so.
Right. You were right. It's 282 is what we completed, and we're starting on 283.
Okay, I can't ever be sure because this is my busy time where I get phone calls and doorbells ring.
So we will begin. Hashem Yisut Kud Shabari Fuish Kinkaki, Kilu Urfi Buru, Kilu Urfi Buru, Kilu Leakta Leshem Yud He Bavavhe, the Yehuda Shalim Beshem Kol Yisrael, Limun Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Masei Adenu Kodanei Aleinu Masei Adenu Kodaneihu. The Sulam commentary on Parasha Lech Lecha from the Zohar, Pasuk 283. Leo min hawa kaim kameya amar lo rabbi anhu otra amar shema mina vila l'shem shemaim kaved v'yal Yachivna lach otra the translation. After a while, as the days passed, Yossi stood before Rabbi Abba and asked, "Rabbi, where is the wealth?" Rabbi Abba responded, "I can see that he is not learning for the sake of heaven." And then he went to his room to consider what to do with Yossi. He then heard a voice that said, "Do not punish him, because he shall become a great man." He returned to him and said, "Sit down, my son, sit down, and I shall give you wealth." A commentary. With Rav Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as well. The story is continuing. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think it's pretty evident that Rabbi Yossi is expecting physical wealth to come his way.
That is correct. It's very clear.
But Rabbi Abba isn't giving up on him because he knows what the Torah is going to do to him.
Well, the halakha is very clear. It says, I'm paraphrasing, but it's very clear what it says. Study Torah lo lishma, not for its own sake. And eventually you will come to study Torah lishma, for its own sake. And one way to interpret the term lishma, or lishmo, which was being translated always as for its own sake, one way of understanding that is you study Torah because it gives pleasure to Hashem that you study Torah, because he created the Torah for you to study. And when you use it properly, Hashem receives pleasure, receives nachash. And that's the real understanding of that halakha. Study Torah with not to give pleasure to Hashem, and eventually you will study the Torah to give pleasure to Hashem. So you have to ask your question, why didn't Rabbi Abba know that, and why did he have to consider what to do with Yossi?
Well, maybe it was just a matter of how long it was going to take him. I think Rabbi Abba knew this. And if you continue on, the Torah is going to change you if you continue on in your studies. And I think Rabbi knew that. It's just that maybe the time element, maybe that's what he was pondering. How long was it going to take Rabbi Yossi? Or was he a rabbi? No, he wasn't a rabbi.
He was not yet a rabbi. But
right.
You're right, that is one consideration. That maybe that's what Rabbi Abba was doing, is considering how long is it going to take? Do I have to give him wealth until he gets it? What's going to motivate him? But there's a deeper or an overall impression of teaching to understand. There is no set law for every situation. One has to constantly consider the souls involved, the people involved. So even though Rabbi Abba did know the halakha, he has to consider what is the best thing for Yossi at this moment. Because there is another halakha that says if you're studying Torah for, well, some rabbis say 2 years, some rabbis say 5 years, if you're studying Torah for a short time period of 2 to 5 years, and it's not working for you, meaning is your goal, if your goal is to become physically wealthy and you haven't become physically wealthy in that 5 years, you need to consider changing what you're studying and how you're studying it. You need to change the path because the Torah should work within 2 to 5 years. And so the rabbi, Rabbi Abba in this case, he has to consider what's the best for this soul. How long has he been studying? And has he been studying it for a proper purpose? And has it begun to change him? And then he can decide what is the best way for Rabbi, or for Rabbi, not Rabbi, but Josie to continue to study the Torah. Maybe he should continue to study at the sod level, even though he hasn't mastered all of the other levels. But this is a very deep understanding of this particular verse.
Well, I've had episodes where all of a sudden reading Torah, it just seemed like it was the same thing over and over. And either I switched to going into the other writings or the prophets, or even just changing different chumashes, and that made a difference. Right now, I'm using the iPad because there's no commentary, but the Hebrew is large print and English, and it's phrased such that you can really translate. I mean, you can look over to the English, but you can find it easily and pretty well can translate the word in that you're seeing in Hebrew. And so right now, that's the one that interests me the most. So I think sometimes it just takes a little bit of change. You know, I think we discussed one time, you know, even the Audible Co-op, after a while, you know, it's like repetition. And I know you don't have to have emotions or feelings about it, but I find that if I just do the letters or I put the vowels with the letters, it just breaks a monotony, and then I get back to the same way again. So maybe it's just human nature, you know, that we have to change a little bit, but it's not get away from whatever Torah or whatever we're working on, but rather maybe see it in a different way.
I understand. I agree. We need change, especially if you have an astrological fire sign somewhere in your chart. You're going to get motivated to change. Verse 284. Ad hakeata gavrahad. Umana defas bidea afkea unfal neho rabbeta marlo rabbi baina vizniske bioraita la ana la sakina Uvaina mandis ishkadal bioraita bagini behaidli otra sage dekashavak liaba dekadyativ alpitorea hawa misadar Alea tele sarkise meilein Uvaena lemiske bioraita Vyaana yahivna otra. The translation. In the meantime, a man appeared with a vessel made of pure gold. He showed it to everyone, and its sparkle lit up the house. He said, Rabbi, I wish to merit Torah, because I myself have not merited the understanding of the Torah. I am searching for someone who can learn Torah for my sake. I inherited great wealth from my father, who used to set upon his table 13 of these cups made of pure gold. I wish to achieve the merit of studying Torah, and I shall give of my wealth to achieve it. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. As a student of Kabbalah, did you understand what the number 13 represents in this story? Do you understand what it means to give one of these golden cups to another? Is it separation? Questions, comments, thoughts?
I took it as it would be really giving. I didn't think of it as separation as much as a tithe. He was taking from the 13. You know, it sounds like one, but maybe not. Did he say who used to set upon his table? No, he didn't say one or any amount.
No, he didn't. So that leads to the question of
He
said he had 13 of them, and then he says he's going to give some, maybe all, but you just don't know.
Well, see, what in my mind, I saw a picture of him taking one from the table. You know, he had 13, and he's taking one, give away. So it was a picture I saw in my head. But 13, isn't it the word for echad, which is unity, and
yes,
also hava of love? So evidently his heart was right. He was wanting to give up his physical wealth to get the spiritual wealth, which is kind of the opposite of Yossi.
So, correct.
But I'm sure this is part of the story, more than likely, to lead for Yossi to see an example. So maybe Rabbi Abba was off himself and praying and pondering to Hashem what to do. Hashem sent this person.
Very, very possible. The point that I was making, though, if you have 13 keys or you have $13 bills, if you give one away, you're tithing, maybe a little less than the full tithing, but you're tithing. But what are you doing? Are you creating separation or you're not? I'm suggesting that you ask yourself that question to understand what it means to have 13 of something.
Oh, because it is unity. And you're separating one from the unity, if it's one, or whatever number it is. Unless he'd give
correct
all 13. Okay, I get it.
Which would be inappropriate, because the assumption is that's all of your wealth. And therefore, if you give all of your wealth away, which you would be willing to do to save your life, but you become a burden on the society that you're living in, and that's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea. If we start to think about what it was like to live in temple times, and you had a piece of property, but you fell on hard financial times, so what did you do? You sold it. You became an indentured servant. But at the end of Yovel, that the Jubilee year, your land was returned to you, so you were never really selling the land. It always belonged to you. You were just leasing it out to receive your to be able to support your family, and at least vent your labor. People don't understand the way the system worked in biblical time. They think of it in terms of today, but it wasn't like that. You sold your land, you received all of your wages for the 7 years of the Shemitah, you received all of that up front so that you could leave it with your family while you became this indentured service and was under the orders of your new master. But at the end of the Yovel, the land was returned to you. At the end of the Shemitah, you were set free. And now you could go about and earn living not as an indentured servant, but as a working man. It's a very different understanding of the way society worked than we think of the way society works today. Would you give somebody 6 years' wages and hope that he would put out the work? Or you would say, no, I'll give you the wages every day or every week or every 2 weeks. And then whenever you stopped working to my satisfaction, I don't have to pay you anymore. It's a very different society.
Well, I do see in rereading the paragraph in the translation, in the meantime, a man appeared with a vessel made of pure gold. So I don't think he came with all 13.
No, he didn't. That's correct. If you read it clearly, he didn't come with all 13. He was offering one in exchange for his spiritual pursuits.
Either that or it was a sample, and he didn't want to lug all 13, so he brought one as a sample, but he's saying he's willing. He said, I shall give my wealth to achieve it. So maybe he was willing to give all of it up. You just have to wait. Not enough of the story.
I made that comment in one of the later Sukkim.
Oh, okay.
But it's all there. The questions that you're asking are very valid.
Okay.
Let's stop here because we only have about 5 minutes left. Does anybody have any other questions?
Well, I'm just surprised we weren't told his name. This is just called a man. So.
Why do you think a name is not given?
To not embarrass him.
Not American?
What?
I said not embarrass him. Usually, you know, I think of, what is his name, Aloni Poloni, that didn't buy Ruth, didn't redeem Booth,
yes.
Ruth, and we aren't told his new name except in Midrash, and the reason not to embarrass him, you know.
Right. And that's the same idea here. They don't want to say his name because his name would imply someone who lacks seichel, lacks intelligence. Because someone who's willing to give up someone who inherits all this wealth and then doesn't spend the time studying the Torah because he can't understand it. And you hear that all the time. Or at least I hear that all the time. How can I study the Zohar? I don't understand it.
And when you thought you did, we take your classes and find out we really didn't. So. Not all the time, but sometimes.
No, you do. Hopefully, I never say you don't understand it. Because what you say is one of the ways of understanding it. I just want to bring out and keep reminding you that there's many more ways to understand it. Because if you get set in the way you're understanding it, this is the way I understand it, you're falling into the path of I'm right and the other guy must be wrong. But if you accept that there's different ways to understand it, you won't fall into that trap.
Well, surely the story's going to end well. I kind of have that feeling.
It definitely will end well. There's no question. Okay. It's a beautiful story.
I think I know some of the ending.
One of the fun things to do is to write your own ending and then see how it relates to the ending that the Zohar brings.
Okay.
And then go back to read your ending and see what is the spiritual statement you're making with that ending. That's all. That is a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you all have a beautiful evening. We will have a Zohar class tonight in our 7 o'clock class. And we will be having another class on Psalm 67 tomorrow.
And you know, I'm going to have to miss it. I sent you an email to let you know that I have an eye doctor appointment.
I understand. If, you know, maybe you'll get fortunate, God forbid, and nobody else will show up. Only one person will show up to the class and we won't have it. That happened a few weeks ago. So.
Well, I wrote in an email and said, if I could ask you a favor, just please record it as quickly as you can. If it was any other psalm, I would be very patient, but I'm not very patient when it's Psalm 67 because I just feel like Hashem is just dropping little nuggets, you know, with the ritual and all. And so it's like...
I agree.
Don't want to miss it, but I think I'm pretty much one of the first. But my appointment being at 8:10, that's pretty early, so I might get back because I'm not very far from the office. Anyway,
you all be well. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Oh.
Bye bye.
Bye, Malcolm.
Bye.